The Angry Chicken is a production of Amove TV. Bookmark amove.tv for more gaming and esports shows. The Angry Chicken is directly supported by listeners like you via patreon.com/TAC.
A podcast about Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft. This is the Angry Chicken.
Greetings and welcome back, everyone. This is the Angry Chicken. You know that already, because if you were hearing this on audio, then you heard the intro music and it already says that. I don't know why I ever say the show title. Doesn't matter. There's so much to talk about today. I'm already rambling at the top of the show because of excitement. Hi, everyone. I'm Garrett here with Jocelyn to talk all things Hearthstone and Hearthstone Battlegrounds. And oh, there is all the Battlegrounds to talk about tonight. Joss.
There's a lot.
ooh, it's a big one. There's a lot of stuff happening. This is the I don't even know where to start. So we will start by thanking our patrons before we get into a very, very long-winded Battlegrounds segment. If you like this podcast, you want to support us, head on over to patreon.com/TAC. We have all sorts of perks over there, like an ad-free feed, access to the Discord, stuff like that. And we'd like to thank some of our newer patrons. So Literate Max, hey, I just love that name. I'm glad that your literacy is maxed out. Also, thank you to Steph and Danny, who signed up together. Last name Glutch. Steph and Danny Glutch. All together as one patron. And Slava.
Adorbs.
Slava, no last name given. Thank you so much for the support, everyone. I would say you three, but it's you four, because Steph and Danny are in there. So head on over, patreon.com/TAC, to support the Angry Chicken, to keep these episodes coming at you, and support us in the process. Now, Jocelyn, are you ready?
I don't know, man.
Do you have like a dragon impression you can like lead us in with?
Arr.
Perfect. Let's do it. This week's Battleground segment.
Have a good battle, friend.
Dragons have come to Battlegrounds. 7 new heroes, 18 new minions, 12 minions are Dragon Tribe. All but 2 of these minions are exclusive to Battlegrounds.
Whew. Yeah, there is so much, Garrett. Like, I thought that, like, we knew that dragons were coming, but I thought there was going to be more that was, like, cards we knew. Not, like, totally new dragons. What?
yeah. I mean, we've spent the last few, like, basically spent the last month in the Battlegrounds segment kind of guessing what Battlegrounds would look, or what dragons would look like when they came to Battlegrounds, because there are so many dragon effects that just seem like they wouldn't work in Battlegrounds. And it turns out Team 5 agrees and decided to make a ton of bespoke dragons for Battlegrounds. But I figured we could actually start today talking about the heroes. Folks, if you can't tell, I am so glad I actually get to talk about this stuff now. My God, it was hard to keep this a secret because this was right around the corner now. And Frodan already tweeted out that, like, this was one of many things that was shown to us. So I don't think I'm going to get in trouble by saying this is not all. There's still a lot of stuff I have to make sure I don't accidentally say. But this is a big part of the summit, was getting to play with dragons. It was awesome. And it was while I was at the summit playing with
dragons. I'm nodding like I know. Yeah. I mean, you guys know I wasn't there, so I'm just like, yeah, it was awesome. Yep. I don't know, but I assume it was.
So while I was there, Joss, you know, they had a bunch of stations set up so we could play against each other with everything you see today. All of these cards were in, all of these heroes were in. And I was sitting there, and I, at one point, I was talking to Regis. Regis Gilpin was there, and I was like, man, I don't think... this is an accurate representation of what this is going to look like when it comes out, because we're in a pretty small bubble here and everyone is forcing dragons. Turns out I couldn't have been more wrong. It was a 100% accurate representation of what it's like to play Battlegrounds today, because everyone is forcing dragons And it's, hey, you want a winning strategy right now, right here at the top of the segment, draft anything but dragons. Congratulations. You're pretty much guaranteed second place right now. I'm sure that will iron itself out after a couple
Murlocs, of demons, still great.
We're going to talk about a lot of minions leaving. You know what didn't leave? Cobalt Guardian. That's a really, it was a really good minion before this, and it's an exceptionally good minion after this patch. But let's start by talking about the new heroes that have been added into Hearthstone Battlegrounds. I'm going to start with Alexstrasza. This is in no particular order other than I wanted to end on Reno, so we're going to do Reno last. And if you're watching video, I could really only fit three of these damn heroes on a screen with their hero power and actually have it be legible in any way, shape, or form. So we're going to start with Alexstrasza, and Alexstrasza's hero power is called Queen of Dragons. It is a passive hero power in Battlegrounds, and it reads, after you upgrade Bob's Tavern to Tavern Tier 5, discover two dragons. I have seen people getting using this great effect and having a lot of success with it. I did get Alexstrasza today and I was like, oh, this seems good. I'm just going to rush to five. I had a horrible game. I think I got sixth place with Alexstrasza.
Yeah, she's like, I guess the reward for playing her comes so late in the game that you kind of have to have a strategy that takes advantage of, like, or you have to have like dragons that are going to be good for you, like in the middle, because you want to synergize with your great discoveries at tier five. But like, you got to get there. And I don't know, the dragons in the early game with those whelps are really, really good. Dragons in the mid game kind of fall off a little bit compared to some of the other tribes that are kind of like coming into their own at that point in the match. So yeah, I don't know. Alexstrasza, at first when I saw her, I was like, oh my God, you get to discover two dragons. But it doesn't even say two dragons like from tier five, right? Like, right, it's just two dragons, so you can go like, yeah, you can get some total poop.
Exactly. There's quite a bit of variance. That being said, even if like you didn't end up drafting dragons, there are a decent amount of dragons I think that are good even outside of dragon synergy. I did find Murazond, which is a tier five dragon, which is a chance to get it. You're not guaranteed to get it, but that's a dragon that has a battle cry that when you deploy it adds a minion to your hand from your last opponent's warband, a new term by the way, which we'll focus on again when we come back around to talking about the minions that were added. So that's cool because it doesn't really matter if you're rocking dragons or not. You know, you get a cool battle cry effect off of this thing. You don't have to have other dragons or any type of dragon synergy to get that battle cry bonus.
There's also a dragon that has to do with divine shields, right? Works a lot like Bolvar. So
yes,
there's some stuff you can get for sure.
Yeah.
But so many of them work so well together.
Yeah, I do believe that dragon. Oh, no, I'm thinking of Holy Mackerel. Sorry, I'm getting my new Divine Shield minions mixed up. That's a tier six, not the other dragon you're thinking of. But yeah, I'm on the fence about Alexstrasza. This is the type of hero that I think there's probably a general strong strategy in terms of how you level Alexstrasza up. Because as with any type of hero power in Battlegrounds that makes you feel like you should probably be forced to draft a certain way, you're not always going to be able to draft that certain way. So it's probably, I think we're going to eventually iron out kind of a good general strategy with how to level up Alexstrasza, and I'm anxious to figure that out. I do not know what it is right now.
It's so crazy because we have so many heroes that came in. So we have seven heroes that came in, one hero that left, which means like there's seven new heroes to figure out, not to mention the entire meta of Battlegrounds to figure out. So I mean, knowing how to play Alexstrasza and draft Alexstrasza, like, I mean, I don't even know. It's going to be so long till I see her, probably. Like, you got her today. You may never get her again for the next, like, 2 weeks.
There's a good chunk of heroes in the lineup right now. Quite a bit.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. But, yeah, overall, I want to play with Alexstrasza more. I want more experience with Alexstrasza. Next up is Deathwing. Deathwing is now a new playable hero in Battlegrounds. And Deathwing's hero power is all in all caps. So all will burn is, I guess, the correct way to pronounce that. It is another passive hero power, and it reads all in all caps minions have +3 attack. That means your minions and your opponent's minions. I didn't love Deathwing when I got to test him, and I still don't love Deathwing. I'm not quite sure how to get the edge with this passive.
Yeah, I think he's probably good with, like, because I haven't had a chance to play him yet. He's probably good with, like, making tokens, right? Because it's just it's a passive persistent effect, right? So I feel like Rat Pack, which Gagazordan in the chat room has just mentioned, but like Microbots or Imp Gang Boss, like anything that's like making more tokens, I think is just going to be, you know, better with Deathwing. So I think he's a token build.
Yeah, he certainly seems a little stronger in the early game because that's when you can kind of take advantage of just having like strength in numbers kind of thing. You can overwhelm your opponent, and your higher attack on more smaller units is worth a lot more. But it very quickly seems to peter out. So it's this is an odd one for me. Deathwing of all of these is probably the one I'm like the least excited about.
Elvix in the chat room is also talking about shooting gallery demons, which I'm assuming he's talking about the juggler dude. So that's kind of another one. Like, that strategy already works. So then, like, anything popping off of, you know, your Void Lords or your Imp Gang bosses are just going to have more attacks. So they're going to just do more than 1/1s and 1/3s in addition to your jugglers. So I think, you know, you can kind of just... If you like that juggler strategy anyway, then Deathwing fits well with that. So, yeah, if that's the way that you like to play, then go in, grab Deathwing. And I think that's a good kind of like partnership there between strategy and hero.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. Because then you're, again, because you are giving that plus attack to your opponent, you're not as bummed in that type of comp when your minions die, because then you're getting juggles off of it. So
exactly.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought about juggler comp, like having an upside with Deathwing, but yeah, that checks out. That tracks.
I think it's a good place to start anyways with how to play Deathwing properly.
Yeah. And then there is Galakrond, who we've got a bit of a trend with some of these non-passive dragon hero powers, and Galakrond's going to be the first one we talk about. So Galakrond's hero power is called Galakrond's Greed. It's going to cost you 1 gold to use, so it's not passive. And it reads, replace a minion in Bob's Tavern with a random one from a higher tier. So, Toki-esque.
Yeah, but targeted. It doesn't re-roll your whole tavern, right? It's just... You choose one and it gets replaced.
And I believe it takes into account the tier of the minion that you are targeting, not necessarily the tier that you are at.
Right. So like if you're at tier 4, but you target a tier 2, then you're going to end up with a tier 3 minion as you reroll.
Yes. It says from a higher tavern tier. So I haven't had enough games of Galakrond to know for a fact if this is actually like... Like if you're tavern tier 5 and you reroll a 2, if it could be a 3 or a 4 or a 5 tavern tier upgrade, because doesn't.
Well, I think previously because this is how I think Toki's is worded as well, from a higher tavern tier. And that's the way she works, is one tavern tier higher. Right. Because that's I thought originally was that a higher tier meant all of it, but
not anymore. Right. She can now roll something from a higher. More than one higher, because she used to say one higher, and now it doesn't.
I'm not sure.
I'm fairly certain Toki can get something that's higher than one tier higher than where she currently sits.
Well, then I have terrible Toki luck. in the like one time that I've played her in the last 6 weeks.
This is another one I haven't seen in a very long time, so it's not actually fresh in my memory. But yeah, quite a few dragons have kind of like ways to play with refresh. Mm-hmm. I like Galakrond. I think I've gotten like one freaking game with him. but I do like this like way more than Deathwings. And I obviously can wrap my head around it better. And right now too, I think these types of hero powers are going to feel maybe a little out of proportion. Better in a like a higher disparity right now because of how much folks are forcing demons. So if there's any way that you can kind of cheat the refresh to give yourself a better chance, especially if you're also chasing Did I say demons? I meant dragons.
You said demons. You meant dragons. I was going to wait till you finished your thought.
Yeah. It feels really good right now because you're giving yourself more chances at dragons. Oh, and if it doesn't seem abundantly clear, dragons are quite strong as long as you don't get pretty bad luck with the dragons that you're picking up. But since everyone is chasing them right now, that can certainly happen. So, anyways, I like Galakrond, and let's move on to Malygos, who has Malygos's hero power is called Arcane Alteration. It's going to cost you 0 gold, but it's not passive, which means you still have to use it, and you can only use it once per turn, but it's free to use. And what happens is you replace a minion with a random one of the same tavern tier. So this is another one where it's really important that you pay attention to what you are targeting. I was just spectating you, for example, and you know, we're looking at like 4-star, 3-star, 2-star because you were at tier 4, and it's like, well, unless you really want that 4-star, let's re-roll the 4-star because it's going to give us a, you know, higher chance. Or if you're searching, you were looking for another red whelp, so you're like, should I re-roll the 1-star? And I'm like, I mean, you can. Nothing's stopping you.
I was looking for my third spawn of Nazoth, I think.
It was triple. 2-star.
Yeah, so, yeah. But yeah, so then you have to actually like target and make sure that you have the tavern tier that you're looking for and then re-roll that specific minion in order to try to like target the thing that it is that you want from basically the tavern tier that you are all the way down to tavern tier 1. So it was a really cool hero power. I liked playing as Malygos a lot. And I think I was basically just like, if I saw a dragon, then I took it because I wanted to play with the new cards. So I didn't have the best strategy. I would kind of like to go in and maybe try Malygos, like thinking of a different strategy that I might rather play, be more familiar with, and just see how he fits into like when I'm not trying to figure out both the hero and the cards. But yeah, he was really fun. I liked him a lot.
Yeah, I had a fantastic Malygos mech game earlier where I ended up with like an abnormally large leaper. I just like, I found 4 of them in rapid succession. Like I bought one and then I rolled again and there were 3 of them offered to me all in the same roll. And I'm like, well, I guess is what I'm doing. And it just kept getting bigger and bigger. And I also found an extremely early sensei. And for a while, the leaper was my only other mech. So it was just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And so I ended up keeping this gold leaper around. And I was just trying so hard to find a Cobalt Guardian, and Malygos's alteration, his hero power, helped me find that guardian. I was just every turn, if there was a 3-star that wasn't a Cobalt Guardian, that sucker was getting re-rolled. And that's eventually how I found my Cobalt Guardian and ended up with like, I think a 30 attack Cobalt Guardian eventually. And I never found another one. And it was all because of this hero power that I found one in the first place.
There's a question in the chat room, which I answered really quickly, and I thought that it was obvious, but now that I'm thinking about it, maybe it's not. But Malygos's hero power is for the tavern minions, right? Not the ones that you have put into play. So like, for instance, when I was playing and you were spectating me, Garrett, I had that Mal'Ganis, which I didn't need. I couldn't have targeted him and just turned him into a random tier 5, right?
I legitimately haven't tried. The thought did not occur to me.
I
haven't tried
either. I just like boom assumed that it was going to be tavern, but I didn't try. And I was just like, of course it's a tavern. Why would it be anything other than the tavern? And then I was like, oh, maybe it's not only the tavern.
I'm going to assume.
I'm 99% sure, but I just thought I'd bring it up in case.
I haven't tried, and the question definitely did not occur to me to ask anyone.
No, it didn't occur to me at all either.
At the summit, so I don't know. That's kind of crazy. But I would assume it's...
I assume it's only the tavern. I would assume it's not your board, but you never know.
Yeah,
so you're saying there's a chance. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. There's, I guess, a 1% chance, maybe. I don't know. I kind of want to just like log in and keep like conceding battlegrounds to like get Malygos again so I can try this.
Emails the TAC podcast at gmail.com or comment below, YouTubers. Let us know what's going on. This is going to be a comment heavy episode, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Can only test so many of these things in the short amount of time that it's been live. Nozdormu is next with another passive hero power called Clairvoyance. Your first refresh each turn costs 0. Love, 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 love Love this.
Okay. I was going to say, I feel like this hero power is amazing, but I haven't had a chance to play him yet. So I don't really know, but it's just like, there's so many times where I'm just like, say I've just upgraded or something and I want to reroll just in case, or like, there's going to be times when you can use all your mana to upgrade and you still get a reroll. You don't have to wait for the next turn. So you could potentially get the first shot at, you know, a tier 5 or 6 or something, you know, as everybody's upgrading at the same time, and then, you know, you're the one that actually gets the first roll of those minions. Like, this seems so good to me.
yeah, I agree entirely. I mean, this is one,
even tavern tier 2, even like turn 4, you just upgrade turn 4, like most people still upgrade turn 4, and then you get the first crack at those tier 2 minions. Like, damn, man.
Why not?
No Stormu coming through, playable.
Efficient hero
if
powers.
If only we're in standard rip.
Yeah, efficient hero powers have historically been the most powerful in Battlegrounds.
Mm-hmm.
And this is extremely efficient. So I love it. This is one that's like, there's no question. We know exactly how this works. We know it's going to be good. If you haven't gotten Nozdorma yet, it's fine. You understand how this works, how this helps you. So Ysera is up next, rounding out the aspects with Dream Portal as her hero power. It costs 1 gold and it reads, refresh and add a dragon to Bob's Tavern. The best dragon run I have had today was because I got to play as Ysera. And then the game disconnected and locked me out of the game for half an hour.
Oh no.
I didn't get to finish that game. I think I was already.
Yeah, this is one. Good. This is one that I feel like I very much like the design of, because so many of the other heroes that revolve around a tribe involve like buffing a certain type of minion. But this is just like, no, if you want to play a dragon game, Ysera is a great choice, kind of like Alexstrasza too. But like, Ysera is a great choice because you can essentially just bring the type of minion that you want into your tavern, which is something I've talked about with Tyrion before. Now, Tyrion obviously is just straight up good, but sometimes when you're me and you have super terrible luck, you get just all tribal minions and you would just sell your soul for something that had no tribe on it. So this is like, if you're sitting there going, oh man, like, where the heck are all the dragons? I really want a dragon game, or I need this specific dragon, whatever. Push your hero power and you're guaranteed to get that tribe in your tavern. Man, that's so good.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. It really is. Imagine if Maleficent was able to do this. My gut thought with Ysera is, I think it's going to be somewhat powerful to stay at lower tiers a little bit longer than you think. Because of this, you can essentially like close out and have a much higher chance of finding triples of dragons as you go along. That's kind of my gut. I don't know. Obviously, none of us have been able to test this that much. Yes, I went to the summit. I could only play so many games, and there was still the randomness of what was offered to us there. But that's kind of where my gut's at. And that's what I did in my one Ysera game. I stayed at 1 until I got a golden red whelp. And then I went to 2. And I don't remember what I was chasing there, but I got a golden dragon from Tavern Tier 2. And then once I got to 3, I just kind of started playing normal-ass Battlegrounds.
Right.
And re-rolling whenever I just needed to continue the dragon train. And this is, it's good for that. For all the reasons you pointed out. I didn't even think about that. Like, oh man, if like Maleficent or Jaraxxus had ways to force mechs or demons into their draft, holy crap, that would be incredible. I mean, they would also have to be like combined with their hero power, so I don't know how you would write that, but doesn't matter. That's not my problem to solve. This is such a consistent way to have a tribe-specific hero. I love the design of this hero power. And
without it just being a straight up buff, right? Because I feel like we saw a lot of that with the original Battleground heroes and the original Battleground design, was it was just like straight up give this +1/+1 or +2/+2 or 2/1 or whatever. Like, that's what they were playing with, was how much you could buff things. And I think there's just way more interesting ways to live in this space. So I'm glad that they're experimenting with stuff like Ysera's hero power, because I think this is super powerful. I think this is great.
This reeks of lessons learned, like within a game mode. For sure. So love you, Sarah. More games with her, please. Please don't disconnect me and lock me out of my game for 30 minutes. Thank you. All right. Final new hero is Reno Jackson, which apparently we should have said spoiler alert last week because we made one listener very, very mad that we spoiled that Reno was a dragon.
What?
It was the same week. Sorry, dear listener. I just assume if you're listening to this, you're probably up to down on Hearthstone. But
and not only that, I thought that it was obvious by all of the stuff that had happened through the solo adventure and anytime we'd seen him and stuff. So sorry, I didn't realize that there would be people out there that wouldn't realize that. But yeah, that
I am not. I try personally very hard not to get mad about spoilers, and so that kind of seeps into the way I conduct myself. And so I'm sorry if I bummed you out. And if you were really looking forward to getting home from work that day, finishing the chapter, and we ruined it for you, I apologize. So whatever the case is, Dragon Hero Reno, even though he's not in dragon form, is the final new hero with this Battlegrounds update. And his hero power...
Before you talk about the hero power, that was my biggest disappointment. Was like, I was like, oh yeah, all the dragons, all the original dragons and Reno. And I was like, oh, we're going to see Reno in dragon form. And then he wasn't. I was like, oh man.
They have art for it too. I mean, you probably wouldn't think about it as Reno, because when I think of Reno, I think of this.
Yes. Yeah.
I would like to humbly request new custom art of Reno in human form with his dragon form behind him, like with some cool kind of effect, but make him still look goofy, like a human formed Reno at least,
or a dragon with his hat on. Like, come on,
there you go. I mean, the art that exists currently has his hat dangling off of one of his horns, but anyway, Gonna Be Rich is Reno's hero power. It's a 4 gold, a whopping 4 gold. Put up 5 fingers, 4 gold. There we go, Garrett. Hero power, it is make a friendly minion golden once per game. Hot.
Yeah. So you use this one time and then you can never use your hero power again.
It is so tempting to be as greedy with this as humanly possible.
Yeah. Like one of those Tavern Tier 6 minions, whatever build you're going for, like get there and insta golden. I'm down.
Yeah.
You don't even have to get there. You could just get to 5 and then discover what you need and then. Man,
my first thought
is so great
that this is actually probably quite strong for juggler comps, because you could just instantly get a golden juggler. Like that is an earlier time I would be very tempted to use this hero power.
Yeah, Elvix is also saying Bran. So Bran is what? Is he 3 or 4? No, he's 4, right?
4.
Yeah.
Bran is 4. Baron Rivendare is 4.
Oh, I love Baron.
Are they 5? But
yeah, there's some really good targets kind of from 3 and up. I don't think I would target anything lower than that.
Sorry, right? They're 5.
Because you can only do it once, but Bran is 5.
Baron and Bran are 5.
I must say, like, I never get Bran. And when I do get offered Bran, it's like I'm way too far in and I have not gone a Battlecry comp. So I'm just like, eh. Like I never ever play with Bran.
I think Bran is in unless you are like, well, actually I think most comps can benefit from a late Bran because all tribes have buffs, and so like Battlecry buffs. But it is so very dependent.
Well, my favorite builds are Divine Shields and Death Rattles, so I embrace the random and don't usually need to buff that stuff up.
Fair.
Or maybe I'm just playing Battlegrounds wrong, because no, that is also a possibility.
Your love of Yogg-Saron does not surprise me that you love the excruciatingly high variance of a Death Rattle comp in Battlegrounds.
Love it. Love it.
Man. Anyways, I think this is a really strong hero power. I think you should at least consider using it earlier in games, depending on how your game is progressing. But certainly some of the mid to late to very late minions, this is just kind of insane.
Yeah.
So what I'm not clear on is how this interacts with the pool. Because there could be a scenario where like there's not two more left of in the pool, right? And so if you make something golden, that's like this.
I see what you say.
Way to cheat the count of minions in a pool. In the pool. So I find that kind of fascinating. I wonder if you use it before there's, because in most cases technically that many minions would still be in the pool, even if they're extremely hard to find. I wonder if it pulls them from the pool. I bet it doesn't. I wonder if it just cheats it for Reno and Reno only.
Yeah, I don't know. I would think that it would cheat it, but maybe not. But then, like, you couldn't have, like, go to, like, use your hero power, go to target a minion, and then have it say, like, sorry, there's not enough of that minion remaining. Like, no.
Yeah. Elvix is in the chat room.
If you saved your hero power the whole game, like, that's got to give you a payoff. So yeah. I think it would cheat it.
Yeah, Elvix in the chat room is totally right, too. Shifter doesn't affect pool. So that tech is already in Battlegrounds.
Oh,
so.
I didn't know that. I didn't realize. I assumed that Shifter did.
I don't think it's come up on the show before. I think it was like a tweet.
Yeah, no, I don't think we've ever talked about it because, yeah, no one's ever. Yeah, I think I'm probably like the only person that ever picks Shifter alongside Pogo Hopper. Just, you know, trying to make the dream work. So
I pick Shifter sometimes. There are times where it's just, you know, it's going rough and it's just a better use of your gold to just be like Shifter and pray. Shifter, take the wheel. that's what I do. So, yeah, but those are your new heroes for Battlegrounds. And now, Jocelyn, before we get into all of the minions, it's going to be such a stacked show. We have a sponsor to thank today, and that sponsor is Quip, Q-U-I-P. Go to getquip.com/TAC to check them out. If you're unfamiliar, Quip makes amazing electric toothbrushes. I'm going to mention this multiple times, and I promise it's not to make you sad, Jocelyn, but I just got back from the Hearthstone Summit. And for the first time since switching the Quip, I didn't have to think about where the hell my travel brush was, because the cool little holder that we get with our toothbrush, Joss, it goes right on your mirror. Like, it has like a magical non-adhesive that works as an adhesive on glass. And you can put your toothbrush in it. You just pop that sucker off. You put it on the other end of your toothbrush, and it's covering up the bristles. It's nice and protected. Just threw that sucker in my luggage, and I'm off. Didn't have to think about it. It was wonderful. You should go check them out. Because you want to brush for 2 minutes, which is something I'm told. And I don't like counting or math. And they make it really easy. Because Quip's electric toothbrush, it has sensitive sonic vibrations with a built-in timer and 30-second pulses. So it guides you. So you get, you know, a full and an even clean, which is another thing I'm really bad. I don't know about you, but when I roll out of bed in the morning, I do that thing where you just kind of keep brushing the same like section over and over again while you try to come to terms with consciousness.
And it makes me not rush out the door, right? Like I stand there and I'm like, okay, I gotta go. I'm gonna be late for work because that's what I always do because I'm terrible at getting out of bed. So I'm standing there and I'm like, oh my God, I gotta go to work. And then I'm like, oh, I still have to wait. It hasn't done all the vibrating yet. Oh, okay. But then I'm actually brushing my teeth properly and waking up enough to drive my car. So yeah, Quip, thank you. For keeping me safe.
It's wonderful.
Both in my dental health and also in my car.
Yep. Plus, Quip delivers a fresh brush head, floss, and toothpaste refills to your door every 3 months with free shipping. So your routine is always right. You don't have that nasty, gnarled up looking brush head that I used to have before I switched to Quip. So check it out. Join over 3 million healthy mouths and get Quip today, starting at $25. And if you go right now to getquip.com/TAC, you're going to get your first refill for free. That's your first refill free at getquip.com/TAC. That is spelt GETQUIP.com/TAC. We thank them for their support. So go check out Quip, the good habits company. I love taglines. We don't have enough of them. It's wonderful. All right, back to Battlegrounds and the many, 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 many minions that have been added. And I grouped these by Dragon Tribe. We're going to talk about Dragon Tribe minions first, and then we're going to talk about the few odds and ends that were also added in this patch. Starting with, in Tier 1, with Dragon Spawn Lieutenant, a 2-attack, 3-health dragon with taunt. It's kicking you off.
Yeah. He is like super straightforward, but man, like 2-3 with taunt so early on with a dragon tag, like that's really good, especially given some of the other early tier minions.
Yeah,
like,
Vulgar Homunculus is a 2-4 with taunt and costs you 2 of your life to get into play and trades. Yeah,
he smacks me in the face.
Yeah, and trades quite well, right? With basically any option outside of weird buff classes like your Yoggs of the world and whatnot. So a Dragonspawn Lieutenant is like stealth really good for a tier one minion. It stacks up well. I think you still want to go for tokens to get that early economy going. But in a pinch, Dragonspawn Lieutenant, really solid tier one minion that can help you trade with the board. However, we want to talk about solid tier one minions, although maybe not one you want to like rush to get out right in actual turn one of the game. But let's talk about Red Whelp, your new favorite minion, everybody. Yeah. May I welcome our Lord and Savior and also bringer of salt, the Red Whelp, also a tier one. Red Whelp is a one attack, two health minion that reads at the start of combat, deal one damage per friendly dragon to one random enemy minion.
Grips. Yeah, and it counts itself, right? It's a friendly dragon, so it's like, hey, guess what? I'm gonna do this, and also I'm still here to trade afterwards.
It's a single shot juggler until you goldenify it, and then it's a double shot start of round juggler.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
I'm not clear on, and I actually didn't get into the scenario at the summit, so the question never occurred to me to ask anyone, is what happens when both of you have Red Whelps, like how it chooses which Red Whelp fires first?
When I was playing today, it seemed to be random. So it was like whichever player would get to attack first, then that's the Red Whelp that shot first. Now, I was the only one that had multiple Red Whelps, so I don't know if it goes back and forth, but it definitely went like I had six minions, my opponent had seven, he went first, his whelp fired, and then all my whelps went off.
Yeah, I had two whelps, and the opponent had a golden whelp, and the golden whelp fired first and double sniped my whelps because of course it did.
Because of course, yeah.
Yes. And I was confused as to, and that made me think, I'm like, I wonder how it decides firing order. Maybe they had two whelps. I don't know. Whatever the case was, whatever the board state was, I was confused as to how that was decided upon. But it doesn't matter. It's just a minor note that I'm kind of curious about.
It's basically I think it's just whichever player is going to get to go first in combat, then that's the whelp that fires first. Cool. I just don't know if it goes back and forth.
Well, if anyone knows for sure, let us know. This minion is nuts. And honestly, you could do worse. For like just buying a minion and deploying it on turn one, it trades well with the pop with the token minions because we still have the Murloc and we still have the Alicat. The Murloc is kind of it wouldn't be a 50-50. You would just straight up lose to them because you would be one to their two and the 2-1 would attack first. So you would lose that round, but it trades well with Alicat. So there you go. And also trades well with Righteous Protector and Mekaru. So yeah
it's a solid tier one for sure.
It is okay in my book and very very good in my book. Once you get any other damn dragons on the board, it's just gross. It can do some really gnarly things. But let's move on into tier two for dragons with Glyph Guardian, a two attack four health dragon that reads when this minion attacks, double its attack. And this is every time it attacks, if it survives its first attack.
Yeah. Which, I mean, this, I think, is a really cool design. So, like, when it's just sitting there, it's a 2-4. But as soon as it gets to attack, then it's a 4-4. And then it's an 8-4. Like, it just, probably an 8-1. Assuming it's still sticking around to live and attack again. But I've seen if you can get three of these and if you can get a golden one, then it just, this can get out of control and it's great.
It's a 4-8 and the card text changes on gold. It triples its attack.
It does. It triples. Yeah. So because at first I was like, what the heck is going on? Like, what, how did this get out of control so quickly? Cause I think it had a little bit of a buff on it. And then, so the first time it was up to like 16, the first time it attacked. And then all of a sudden it was like 50 something. And I was like, okay, whoa, wait, hang on. Like, what is going on?
This card caused audible yelling at the summit because the chat room right now is talking about the highest attack ones they've ever seen. And Gagazordon says 408.
Wow.
The highest ones I was seeing at the summit were over 300, and people, it was multiple times, people just going, how much attack? Just at the top of their lung. You would just hear it like across the room. It was hilarious. But yeah, it can get extremely out of hand extremely quickly. And it has some kind of gnarly synergy with another tier two Dragon Tribe card that we're going to talk about here in just a moment, but not before we talk about Steward of Time, another tier two dragon that has 2 attack, 4 health and reads, whenever you sell this minion, give all minions in Bob's Tavern +1/+1. I love this dragon because it gives me an early way to buff the Glyph Guardian we just talked about. And if you can get any sort of buffs on Glyph Guardian, it just pays off in dividends because of the doubling attack. And also, if you have more health on it, it has a much higher chance longer to make a second attack.
Yeah.
So Steward of Time, really cool. And at least day one, in my anecdotal experience, in my extreme research of like 12 games, not a lot of people chasing Steward of Time. So I actually was able to find a golden one multiple times, and I just kept throwing it back and getting even bigger buffs and then finding it again and just kind of cycling them and cycling them and cycling them. And it actually worked out pretty damn well for me. So I like this card. It's of the dragons, one of the more tame ones, but can enable some silly things.
Yeah, if anything, because obviously this is a very, very specific to Battlegrounds. Like, this could never be in Constructed, and it makes me want more Battleground specific minions because they get to have these super cool effects that obviously would have no effect whatsoever in Constructed. I want to see this across more tribes, like doing cool stuff like buffing the Tavern and things like that. Like, that's just so cool. Like, I want to see more stuff interacting with the Tavern.
Also, wait till your first Dance and Daryl game and you start finding these over and over again. It's disgusting.
I can't wait for Daryl. I haven't had him today, and he's one of my favorites anyways.
Ugh, the only time I have played Daryl in the last week was on my phone. That's the first time I've done it. Oh boy.
It's rough. I don't know why you would do that.
Because it's on my free to play account. Cause you know, sometimes you lose connection and that's the account I play on my phone. And I have two options. So sometimes,
yeah, Daryl on the phone is,
it's Daryl or Putricide sometimes, Jocelyn, and you just you know what,
not anymore.
Daryl played poorly is better than Putricide played at all. So let's talk about the final tier two Dragon Tribe mini. We're going to talk about, not actually a dragon though, it is Wax Rider Togwaggle. Togwaggle in Battlegrounds has 1 attack, 2 health and reads, whenever a friendly dragon kills an enemy, gain +2/+2. I cannot believe that this card is tier two.
Yeah, and so this has the same sort of effect as other minions that grow. So as your hyenas, as your junk bots and everything else. So all the buffs go away after the combat phase. But like Garrett was saying, when you get your Glyph Guardians going and buffed up with a little bit more health, and there are many ways to, you know, buff the dragons and stuff. So once you get that to the point where it's like killing multiple minions, then your Togwaggle starts to get pretty big pretty quick. And yeah, like he's definitely interesting, but he happens, you're right, so early. And I think he happens so much earlier because he's not always guaranteed, but it's whenever a friendly dragon kills a minion kills a minion. It counted like my shots from my whelps, my red whelps. And it was counting like when stuff was running into my dragons and then dying. So it wasn't just when dragons attack and kill. It was just whenever something dies because it interacted with your dragons somehow. And I was like, oh, that's much better than I originally thought. I thought my dragons had to attack and kill. And in that case, I was like, oh, my God, this is never going to get buffed up big. But because any way that things die, if they interact with your dragons, will buff Togwaggle, it's much better.
Yeah, I was with you. I kind of assumed it was going to interact like Overkill does and that it only triggers on an attack. But no,
exactly.
That is not the case. This, if your dragon, it
works the way Overkill should work.
Anything through any type of interaction, yeah, Togwaggle gets buffed. And because of Glyph Guardian, and that's potential to get out of control, the fact that like Glyph Guardian and Wax Rider Togwaggle exist within the same Tavern tier, and it's only Tavern tier 2, it's a lot of early gas for dragons. Again, if you can find it, it is so freaking contested right now, but it's pretty crazy. So very good, very good minion, Wax Rider Togwaggle, if you're going dragons. Kind of awful if you're not going dragons. Wouldn't recommend it. Let's talk about Bronze Warden as we move up into tier three. It's another dragon with two attack, one health, divine shield, and reborn. And it,
so all the things,
it is reborn with that divine shield. So this is quite good.
Is this our first like natural reborn minion in Battlegrounds? Because I know we have like Lich King that can give something reborn, but
I do believe that is correct.
Yeah. Nothing else is actually reborn, which is interesting. Maybe we'll see more introduced sometime soon.
It's solid for sure. Becomes a 4/2 when it's tripled. It doesn't get like some crazy double reborn or anything. Right. It's just standard reborn, but
that would be crazy.
There's
double reborn. I don't even know how they would keyword that, or yeah. I guess just give the token afterward. No, they still have reborn.
It's another dragon that I think is stealth surprisingly good.
Even at 3.
Yeah.
It seemed to me like it was like it came into the game so late. I was like, oh, I don't want this. Like, there's so many other things that I would want.
I wouldn't be surprised if this got moved around. I could almost see Glyph Guardian going to 3 and Bronze Warden going down to 2.
Well, that feels more natural to me. Like, if I were to just, without knowing what tiers all these dragons belong to, like, that's probably where I would have slotted them. Like, 2 attack, 1 health, divine shield, reborn sounds so tier 2 to me. And this crazy Glyph Guardian with its growing front, same with even, you know, like Togwaggle is tier 2. Like, both of those options, I feel like that stuff should be happening more around tier 3. But Bronze Warden, I feel like at tier 3 just comes too late. And there's so many other things that I want to look for at that tier.
I thought the same, like, I kind of came around on this card in rapid order upon slamming games when I got to test it. And it, as I actually found dragon buffs, which there's multiple ways to pull that off, this card can start to feel like Cobalt Guardian in the Dragon Tribe because it's going to attack once with its Divine Shield. And if it has a large attack value, that's worth a lot. It'll attack a second time and then it will, you get the bonus reborn off the back of that. It's not buffed, but it's still. Yeah.
So then it basically leaves a 2/1 token behind. Yeah. Right. So,
and it can open you up for, this helps you also bridge the gap. If you kind of miss your kind of middle of the game dragon synergies, because this can help, you can do, a Bolvar like side strat to help get you there, because this has a divine shield. It pops and then it reborns with a second divine shield and double buffs your Bolvar. There's a lot of different ways that this kind of helps you smooth out your draft in the mid game. I think it's,
I do want to try a divine shield dragon build because of a couple, or because of one minion we're going to talk about in a little bit, but, yeah, I mean, I could see this working in a divine shield comp for sure. Because like you said, there are things that can buff dragons. So yeah, I can see it, Garrett. Agree. I can see it.
I agree. Let's move on and talk about Hangry Dragon, which is actually what my wife calls me when I wake up in the morning. it's also a tier 3. It's also a dragon, I would hope, since dragon's in the name. It has 4 attack, 4 health, and reads at the start of your turn, if you won the last combat, get +2/+2. Do we have like flavor text in Battlegrounds? Because if we do, this should read, "Do you feel lucky, punk?"
Maybe.
Do you feel confident, I guess, is you're confident that you're going to win and you're going to keep winning? Because if the answer is yes, yeah, you should 100% take this card. If the answer is, I don't know, maybe not your best choice.
This kind of seems like, we talk about it in Constructed a lot, but like the win more card, right? It's like, are you winning? Well, now you get to win more because you're buffing up your dragons, making them bigger. Like,
yes, but win more is worth a lot more in Battlegrounds, in my opinion, because this just snowballs. Yeah? This card inherently snowballs. If you start snowballing as dragons, this card just keeps the snowball going in its own right. Doubles that buff when it gets tripled as well. Right. And again, not the most desirable card to be chasing at the moment. So a golden Hangry Dragon, not the most insane thing in the world to chase if you find yourself with a pair, because it's going to upgrade into a 4 or to an 8/8 that gets +4/+4 if you won the last combat. So a lot of snowball potential here with Hangry Dragon. But yes, this is the one where I go, only in certain circumstances am I mm-hmm. going out of my way to take the angriest of dragons. So let's move on and talk about a non-bespoke dragon for Battlegrounds, Cobalt Scalebane, existing as you know him. This is another dragon at tier 4, moving up into tier 4 here with 5 attack, 5 health, and at the end of your turn, give another random friendly minion plus 3 attack.
He looks so familiar.
Yes, yes,
it's like he does. A happy, happy place. Hello, Cobalt Scalebane.
Yeah. Great card. His triple is missing from the website, and I don't remember exactly how he triples. Because I have.
I would imagine it would be give 2 random friendly minions. You think,
but it could also be plus 6 to 1, and I'm not sure. Unless chat room knows.
Before, because isn't that how Juggler used to work? That it was 1 minion but doubled the amount of attack that it did?
If you're going to make an argument based on consistency, I'd like to remind you this is Hearthstone.
Which is exactly what I was about to do, is that maybe they learned from Juggler that it's actually better to do the thing to 2 different minions instead of just doubling the thing that they're doing.
Also, Sensei doesn't do that when it triples. It doubles the buff to 1 target.
That's true.
And this basically works like Sensei. Except it's not mechs. It's not any tribe specific, actually. Cobalt Scalebane is a dragon that you could throw into any comp you're running. And right, I think it's actually a pretty desirable dragon for a menagerie comp. And that's something we haven't even damn mentioned yet. All of those menagerie buffs that said dragon, you were thinking to yourself, well, there's no dragons. There is now. Also, Curator, your amalgam counts as a dragon. Keep all those things in the back of your head.
Curator is so good with those whelps early on, because then you're getting 2 juggles because of the, oh my God, it's just, oh, it's gross, or not 2 juggles, 2 damage for your juggle, but still, you know what I mean? It's gross because that stupid thing counts as a dragon.
So gnarly. But yeah. A couple together. I like this card a lot. Actually, I got some really good use out of Scalebane. And again, can kind of, this is one you can, much like a lot of similar buff cards, you kind of want to find this early, and late game it can just be a little too slow to get you back into it. So, Draconid Enforcer is next, still at tier 4. It's a dragon with 3 attack, 6 health, and reads, after a friendly minion loses Divine Shield, gain +2/+2, and Jocelyn's Admiration.
Yes, this is the one that I look at and just go, oh, beautiful, because I love playing Bolvar, like Divine Shield builds. I find a lot of fun in that in Battlegrounds, that or the Baron Death Rattle comps. And I really, really, sometimes I even go like Baron and Bolvar and go like Death Rattle Divine Shields, which is crazy. That's where I find my fun. So when I saw this,
the shield giver, because of the righteous or selfless hero,
that works really well. Like usually I can triple that one. And then when you get that alongside of a Bolvar and a Baron, it's disgustingly amazing. It's great. So, nobody steal my strat. It's so, so fun. Like I really enjoy it. And so I saw this dragon when it was announced, and I was like, oh my God, this is actually going to be so good, because it goes right into that comp that I love to play. So I'm excited about this guy, and yeah, I think he's great. Plus, he grows with health, right? Like, Bolvar just gets more and more angry and just gets more and more attack, but this guy's like, no, I'm going to get beefy, too.
Yep. Solid card if you're going Divine Shields.
Mm-hmm.
Herald of the Flame is up next. Still at tier 4. This is our last tier 4 dragon. 5 attack, 5 health, overkill, deal 3 damage to the leftmost enemy minion.
I don't know if this is good because it's overkill. So that's overkill means that it has to be attacking, right?
Yes.
Now, dealing 3 damage to the leftmost minion is going to be good because it's very likely that has already attacked. So it's probably taken some damage. So that 3 damage from your Herald of Flame, there's a chance that it could kill that minion. But I don't know, man, because it's overkill and not working the same way that we were talking about we were talking about earlier. Anyways, it doesn't matter. Togwaggle, thank you. Yeah, so because it doesn't work just like when stuff runs into it, I don't know, man. I think this would probably be overpowered because there are so many token builds in the game that if you had just like deal 3 damage when a token runs into this. Like, that would be crazy. So I get maybe why it's overkill, but I think because it's overkill, this just becomes, I think because it's overkill at this point in the Battlegrounds match, right? At tier 4, I don't think you're going to overkill too much with a 5 attack minion. And then it has, does it have to survive to deal the damage, or does it deal the damage and then die?
It deals the damage and then dies. If it, okay. As long as it overkills. I mean, if it deals 5 damage to 5 health, you don't trigger the overkill.
Yes, obviously, yeah.
You don't get the effect. This one seems kind of weirdly counterintuitive in multiple ways. It is tier 4, so it's a little bit later in the game. Now, granted, you can triple into it and get it on board a little bit earlier. But it also feels like it should be...
Sure, and you can buff it and everything else, but yeah.
I wanted to target Rightmost, because that's where jugglers are stored. That's where growing minions. Obviously, 3 damage actually would not kill a junk bot, but...
But it could take out a hyena. Like it could, like you mentioned, a juggler. Like there's some stuff that gets stored on that right hand side that, you know, most of the time that's why you have to take zap, right? Is because you want to kill the stuff that they're, you know, saving to the end. So I kind of agree with you. I think if Harold dealt damage to the rightmost enemy minion, then probably everyone would pick it, which maybe is what they're trying to avoid, is stuff that feels like regardless of the comp you're going for, you take it. So and
so far, most of the dragons we've talked about have been, I think, just kind of inherently good. Herald of Flame is the first one that I'm kind of like, I like the triple because it's a 10-8 and it deals 6 damage to the leftmost minion. The Herald of Flame as it is, especially coming on online as late as tier 4, I'm not as stoked about this particular dragon because... You want it to attack first.
3, it would be great.
Yeah, I feel like you want it to attack first, but your likelihood of hitting a Divine Shield taunt minion and doing nothing other than popping the Divine Shield is extremely high. So you actually kind of want it more in the middle of the pack, and there's a decent amount left up to randomness there, and you know that that's not the way I like to roll. So.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. But if you get some buffs onto this guy or triple it, it can be quite effective. I did triple one at the summit and it was kind of gross, to be fair. Let's move on into tier 5, however, and talk about Murazond, our first dragon in tier 5 with 5 attack, 5 health and a battle cry that reads, add a minion to your hand from your last opponent's warband. So
he looks so badass. Like, I love this art. I mean, his effect is awesome too, but man, that art. So good.
His claw looks a little weird.
I was more looking at his rah face.
I'm not going to get into a critique here about foreshortening. Let's, so we talked about Murazond a bit already. This is, again, not my favorite dragon, but
I like him.
has usefulness outside of dragon synergy. That being said, this might be my least favorite dragon.
Really?
In Battlegrounds. Yeah.
I feel like I look at him and I go, that's actually really cool. I mean, again, like by the time you get to tier 5, like maybe not, but at the same time, I mean, you might be doing brand things. You've got a space on your board for, you know, buffing and battle cry things going on. So, I mean, he's not the worst thing to double up a battle cry or,
I mean, if I have a brand, like, okay.
I think he's great. Yeah, more I like him a lot. Plus, you're going to be getting stuff from, I mean, he has like Shades of Rafam in here, right? Like, you know, except that your opponent can't even control it. Like if I'm going up against Rafam, I try to put my crappiest thing that I know he won't want over on my left hand side. So it dies first. Like you can't control this as the opponent. Like if they have Murazond, like you just give up something that maybe is super awesome.
Yeah, but you can't, control it either. And so you also just might get junk. Which at least Murazond is somewhat efficient in that way because you can sell the junk, which is about, I think, like the only reason I'm like, well, it's not total crap because, well, at least he kind of has a discount in that way in the worst case scenarios. But it's whatever. We needed, I think, dragons that weren't super impactful, which so far a lot of them are. Murazond is, you know, a 5/5 at tier 5 with this type of effect. I'm just not losing my mind over it.
No, so. But I think he's good and interesting and I like him. So,
well, I'm glad one of us does. Razor Gore, the Untamed is here and I love him. Another dragon at tier 5, 2 attack, 4 health, reads at the end of your turn, gain +1/+1 for each dragon you have. And this happens like the turn you buy him before you head into your next combat phase. So if you got a board full of dragons, Razor Gore is going to get +6/+6.
Yeah, he was the one that seemed to get
I think he kind counts of, himself, so I think it's a +7/+7 potentially.
Potentially, yeah. I think he does count himself, because again, much like the red whelp, it's every dragon you have, not every other dragon you have. So he does in fact count himself, and then so he can get up to +7/+7. Now you might have one or two minions on your board that aren't dragons, but still, like, that buff guaranteed at the end of each turn, and because it's the end of your turn, it carries through combat, it carries through the next round, then it gets buffed again. So yeah, it's it can get really big really fast.
Yeah, snowball machine right here.
Yeah,
on Razor Gore. Which love is this funny card.
Because we're talking about all these guys being snowballs, but they're all dragons. So they're breathing fire, so it just doesn't really fit. But anyways,
some dragons live in snow.
That's true.
We didn't get any frostworms, okay, did we?
Does Razor Gore look icy? Because I argue that man looks fiery.
I didn't say Razor Gore. I said some dragons. Yeah, I love this card. Absolutely carried some games for me. Gross. Just super can be extremely powerful. Again, if you're going dragons. And honestly, I don't think you need a board full of dragons for this to be worth it. I had him work really well, and I had Togwaggle and Bolvar on my board, and Razor Gore still got sick value, so give him a chance. Twilight Emissary is up next, still at tier 5, still a dragon with 6 attack, 8 health, taunt, battle cry, give a friendly dragon +3/+3. Fair.
Yeah.
Fair for tier 5.
I feel like I want him, yeah, and again, he is tier 5, but I feel like I kind of want him to be the last thing that I play to hold my battleground spot, or not battleground, battle cry spot. So it's like, if I'm constantly using one spot on my board to do battle cry buffy things, then like I play this guy last, leave him as a 6/8 because most of the other battle cry things are pretty small, leave him as a 6/8 with taunt, and then go into the next round, sell him off and keep going.
He's a
good placeholder.
We are just about to talk to a reason you want to be cycling battle cries in your end game with a dragon comp, and Twilight Emissary lets you do that. By the way, Twilight Emissary, I mean, you should be able to assume it from the 6/8 stats. When you triple Twilight Emissary, Twilight Emissary is a 12/16 in its own right, on top of also giving a +6/+6 buff instead of a +3/+3. 12/16 is nothing to scoff at. With no extra buffs, all you have to do is find 3 of these, which granted tier 5 is going to be a little hard to do. But if you find that pair, it's very tempting to try and triple this dragon. But let's talk about the reason you want to be cycling battle cries in your end game as dragons as we move to tier 6 and talk about Caligos Arcane Aspect. So Caligos is a tier 6 dragon. I don't know why it says tier 5. Oh no, I'm looking the wrong place. 2/8 reads, after you play a minion with battle cry, give your dragons +1/+1. So if you're cycling your Twilight Emissaries, even a Murazond, what are earlier, did we talk about any, I don't think any earlier dragons had battle cries.
No, but a lot of the buff, like the menagerie buff stuff, now works with dragons.
Yep.
So
all of that works options, with Caligos. Yeah. Caligos is gnarly. As he should be, right? I mean, we're looking at tier 6 here. This is the end. Should be something pretty crazy.
He's the aspect of magic now. Like, he should be crazy.
Yep. 4/16 and +2/+2 whenever you play a battle cry, if you happen to get the dream and triple Caligos. You have to get so lucky right now with the way people are chasing dragons. It's nuts. But insane way to cap off your dragon composition for sure. But that's not all, Jocelyn. Can I interest you in Nadina the Red? Also at tier 6, 7 attack, 4 health, death rattle. Give your dragons divine shield.
She is not a dragon herself.
No. No, just a big fan.
Super cool.
A big fan of the dragons. Big fan of the dragons.
I mean, who isn't?
You want to defend her of Argus's.
Yeah. Well, and not to mention, too, like with the Draconid Enforcer and Bolvar, like that. Oh, yeah. Love her. Love her.
I also really like the idea of a death rattle that is irrelevant when it comes to Baron Rivendare.
Mm.
Doesn't matter if you double this up. Does nothing for you. Maybe it makes you feel good because you got double animations. You just go, ooh, shiny.
Which you guys know I do every single time I play. Anytime anything shiny happens.
No one's surprised by this, Jocelyn. No one.
I know.
But that's it. Those are all the dragon minions that were added. But we have three more minions that are not part of the dragon tribe that were added into Battlegrounds. In tier two, we got Unstable Ghoul. Exactly as Unstable Ghoul existed from Naxxramas in Constructed Hearthstone. Sitting at tier two at one attack, three health, taunt, death rattle, deal one damage to all minions. This includes your own. So coming in at tier two, that's something you really want to keep an eye on, especially if you're rocking tokens.
Yeah, but I think this is really interesting. And we had a question a little while back now about bringing AoE to Battlegrounds. And I think this is so cool. I love this. It's like, again, taking the hero powers that we have and working them in. Like, I mean, this obviously super nefarian-y, except for obviously it impacts all minions instead of just your enemies. But at the same time, like, I don't know. This is just, I love this idea. I want to see more of it. Yeah. It might have been the episode that Vigil and I did. Did we talk about it then? Because I feel like I haven't heard your thoughts on AoE in Battlegrounds.
I do believe it came up. And by the way, bang up job on that episode. I thought you two absolutely killed it. I had a really good time listening to a show that I am on that didn't have me on it. I was like, damn, I would listen to the show every week, which is a great gut check as a podcaster.
Yeah, Vigil is such a good guest. Dude, I love doing the
Vigil,
show.
Vigil, open invite, man. Anytime you want to come on and talk shop. I'm playing Constructed again. We have common ground. We have common ground. Also, if you don't come back to Battlegrounds for Dragons, I don't know what's wrong with you, man. Stop playing Apex Legends. What are you doing? It's really good, actually. I kind of want to go play Apex Legends. Anyway, yeah. So this
AoE
is a great way.
Battlegrounds, Garrett,
great way to bring it. I think it's great. I think there's a really smart way to bring it in. I don't know how else you would do it unless it's some sort of proc, like we're seeing with Togwaggle, Junkbot, procs. Like it has to be it has to happen in combat. You have to find some way to do it. So it has to be like on a kill, on an attack, on a death, or tied to a death rattle.
I just really like the idea of having a way to combat against somebody who's doing a crazy big divine shield, because before it was mostly just like you were hoping to get like a cleave to take down a few at a time or something. And I just like the idea of like if someone is going super mega divine shield, then you have some counterplay, which we hadn't really necessarily had as much of. And it comes so early in the game that it's actually very, very helpful. So you can work on like buffing up the health of your stuff while, you know, like combating a divine shield comp from your opponent. And then you're not going to see too much of a downside to that unstable ghoul, but it's going to allow you to, you know, like maybe take that when you know that you're coming up against like George or something like that. Then you can, you know, take that and, you know, again, have some counterplay. I love when you get, I guess it's like tech cards, right? They're like tech 100%. Cards in Battlegrounds.
And there were so much, they're a lot more exciting in Battlegrounds, I think, because of the draft nature of it and the real-time draft nature of Battlegrounds.
Yeah, so you can like take it and then throw it away when you know that you're going up against someone that, you know, isn't doing either tokens or divine shields. You can just be like, oh, okay, I can get rid of the unstable ghoul now. I don't need it this round. It's going to be in the pool for when I need it later. Like it's a lot better than Constructed, where it just takes up one or two slots in your 30 slot deck.
And George aside, I think this has a lot of late game tech potential.
Yeah.
Because now you don't need to be nefarian to try and counter late game divine shield comps. This is I love early game cards that you want to like sneak in as a tech in the late game. I think it's really cool. This is definitely one of those. This is one of those, like if you're paying attention to who's winning and what their comp is, this might be a card you intentionally draft to win. And that's really cool. What also is really cool is naming a Murloc card Holy Mackerel. And that's exactly what they did with our next minion at tier six, a new tier six Murloc, Holy Mackerel, 8 attack, 4 health. After another friendly minion loses divine shield, gain divine shield.
Yeah, I like this too. I mean, the name, the art, it's a paladin card. Holy mackerel.
Yeah, put it right after your Cobalt Guardian, and then it gets it, and then it attacks, and then it loses it, and then maybe you had, you know, something else queued up with your second Cobalt Guardian queued up, and then Holy Mackerel gets it back, and then they kill your taunt minion that drops a microbot, and your Cobalt Guardians get their shields back, and all the while Bolvar is going, I'm going to get you Hyper Shadowlands by kicking your teeth in. It's going to be wonderful.
Yep.
This is the best name in the history of Battlegrounds minions.
A Grim Destiny.
Love this card. Imp Mama is the final new minion added to Battlegrounds. Also at tier 6, it's a tier 6 demon. 6 attack, 8 health. Whenever this minion takes damage, summon a random demon and give it taunt. Ooh, Mama.
Yeah, this is like, I was going to say Imp Gang Boss on steroids, but it's kind of in the name. It's Imp Mama. Like, just, man, this is so good.
You want a way to kind of cap off your juggler comp? Here you go.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. Yeah. Yeah, this is a cool addition.
It seems like there's a lot of cool stuff now at tier 6. Like, it wasn't empty before. There were definitely reasons to try to go there, but I found like more and more often I was just hanging out at 5, and then the only time I was getting tier 6 minions is if I was tripling, and then I would, you know, like I'd discover my tier 6, but I very, very rarely actually made it up to tier 6 just naturally. So now it seems like maybe there might be more of a reason across more comps to actually invest in that upper tier. So I'm looking forward to seeing how all this plays out.
Yeah, I am. I am too. I think it's really freaking cool. I think it's a cool addition. I like it, even though I'm still losing the juggler comps and I'm still salty about it. But
yeah, I don't love juggler comps, but I think that there's a lot more options now. And we'll talk a little bit about balance changes in a moment. But I feel like jugglers may not necessarily be the best way to play anymore. They're definitely a way to play, and they're still powerful. They're still strong. But I mean, that's all I was seeing for so long, that just having dragons in there, at least making people try to figure them out, to think in different ways. I'm hoping it doesn't just kind of like boil down to like, yeah, okay, it's just juggler comps as demons are just best. I hope that the changes that they put in have actually made more comps more viable with different heroes and stuff. Like, I just want to see more variety. I want to see people able to make choices. And I think that's what they've done with a lot of the dragons that we've seen with these additions to tier 6. Like, I think these are all very good changes.
I agree. I like this. I like it quite a bit. And that brings us to the end of minions. We have one more sponsor to thank today, and that is Feels, a new sponsor today. You should go check them out at feels.com. That's feals.com/TAC. And they deliver premium CBD straight to your door. More and more, I have been hearing about CBD as an alternative to things like pain relief or sleeplessness. Like, a surprising amount of family members of mine that I would not consider hip to things like CBD, it's like, oh yeah, yeah, I've been having trouble sleeping, or, you know, I have like neck pain or whatever. And I'm like, oh, you're taking CBD for it and that's working out for you. Huh, that's interesting. So suddenly I'm the odd man out, not being hip to it. Lo and behold, Feels contacts us and goes, hey, are you interested in the sponsorship? We'll send you a sample. I'm like, sure. Off and on, I frequently have issues with sleeping, and we've talked so much damn about snowballing on today's episode. That's exactly what happens with this. If I have one bad night, it turns into like 3 bad nights of sleeping, and it just gets out of hand. And so I was like, yeah, why not send it? They sent me a sample. They sent me a flight. It was like pre-measured amounts of CBD. And sure enough, like, the smallest dosage was exactly what I needed to put my butt right to sleep the next time I had a bad sleeping bout. And the best part was that there wasn't some kind of like weird high that came with it. It just helped me fall asleep, and I was just up the next day without any sort of lingering effect. And on top of all of this, you know, if you use CBD regularly, they offer a membership If you want Feels CBD delivered to your door every month, you're going to save money on every order, and you can pause or cancel at any time. You know, if you're traveling, going to be away for a while, whatever the case is, it's very convenient. So you can become a Feels member today by going to feels.com/TAC, and you're going to get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's FEALS.com/TAC to become a member. Get 50% off automatically, taking off your first order with free shipping. Go check them out over at feels.com/TAC. We thank them for their support. And now let's go back to Battlegrounds for balance changes. Holy freaking frick, Joss.
Holy freaking frick.
Yeah, just absolutely ridiculous. So George the Fallen getting a buff. I'm so stoked about this. His hero power, Boon of Light, it costs 3 gold now, down from 4. Because they looked at Reno and went, that seems strong. Maybe we should give George a break. You know?
Yeah, I feel like this is something we've been talking about since the get-go, that 4 was just way too much.
Yeah, well, I don't know. In the early days, I thought it was fine. But as time has gone on, and especially as Tyrion has continued to dominate, and I go, yeah, maybe 4 mana is a little much for poor George. You know, him and Carl have been through some things. Maybe let's cut the guy a break. but I like this change a lot. I think it's great. I'm actually excited to get offered George again. Whereas before I was kind of like, yeah, I guess I'll take him. I hope there's not a Nefarian in this game. Well, now, although with unstable ghoul now as well.
Always a Nefarian.
The potential. Anyways, now you're just hoping they're not paying attention and they're not drafting the unstable ghoul. Great change. Awesome. Moving on to what's going on to minions. Sneeze Old Shredder going down from tier 6 to tier 5. I like this change as well because I was never excited to see Sneeze Old Shredder offered when I discovered tier 6 or when I was at tier 6 and rolling.
Yeah, I mean, you know how much I love random, and you know how much I love Battleground or
Sky Golem.
Sky Golem, yes, thank you. I don't think I've ever picked Sneeds. Like, I think I did one time, and then like it popped out a shifter, and I was like, "You're dumb, and I don't like you."
Yes, yeah, it's not the best. I don't mind it. I'm glad it's down at tier 5. Much happier to see a 5/7 with a solid death rattle at that tier in the game than at tier 6. But that's not all. Mama Bear is also getting changed. It used to get buffed. Yeah, it used to be a 4/4 beast that whenever you summoned a beast, give it +4/+4. It is now a 5/5 beast that reads whenever you summon a beast, give it +5/+5. I find this questionably unnecessary.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Why?
The problem I see with beasts is finding Mama Bear, not Mama Bear's capability.
Exactly. I never find her when I'm going like token beast type builds. Like, I can never find her. She doesn't exist.
Yeah, same.
And I'm doing like mechs, and I discover a tier 6, and it's like, oh, have a Mama Bear. How about another one? Did you want it this time?
Well,
and I'm like, no.
This is the thing I've learned rather recently, which is that Mama Bear can allow you to do a late game switch to beasts because of the summoning. That's the awkward thing about beasts in the first place, is that because of Mama Bear and their other summon buff based minions, you kind of want to replay minions you've already gotten play. So if you find a Mama Bear like pretty early on into like your triples late game, and like your late game comp is not that great, do a beast switch. You can totally make it work, and it can be kind of gross. But whatever the case is, this does make Mama Bear a little bit harder to snipe, which is good. But yeah, Mama Bear was already really powerful. Now Mama Bear is just more powerful. Sure, why not?
Yep.
Why not? Also, they adjusted the starting cost of Tavern Tier 6. I will be the first to admit, I don't think I ever knew that it actually started at 11 gold. the starting cost of Tavern Tier 6 has been reduced to 10 gold. Never even registered with me that was the case. This is interesting, though, because it means if you're at Tier 5 long enough that it becomes 0 gold, you can actually Tier 4 long enough, it becomes 0 gold. Could you double it? No, because tier 5 would be too expensive. Never mind. Ignore me. I'm stupid. I'm an idiot. But you could still double level from 5, which you wouldn't have been able to before at 11. So that's cool.
You could technically, but you're sitting there for a long time.
Yeah, I guess it wouldn't matter.
I don't think it would benefit you at all. I think you would have lost the game by the time you're doubling from 4 to 6.
I've had some games. they're not common, but yeah. Cool nonetheless. The dev said that we got dev comments with this, by the way, that tier 6 has a lot of exciting minions, and we'd like players to have more of an opportunity to reach it than they have. We're also trying to make Tavern tier 6 more interesting by adding some of these powerful new minions. I would say they have very much succeeded. Let's talk about heroes that they've removed. Putrescide, as you kind of alluded to when we were talking about heroes. Putrescide is gone. They said that they'd like to go back to the drawing board on Putrescide. They're going to disable him for now to make way for their new heroes, but you'll likely see him return in the future with some changes, which I'm more than happy with.
Yeah, so our hero pool is now ginormous. Like, it's just huge. There's so many heroes, and I love it. I love that they didn't, like, rotate 6 other heroes out to put the dragons in. Like, yeah, the more variety and the more heroes that we have in the pool means the less my lobbies are going to look the same. So I am down for this.
I had multiple games today without Tyrion in the lobby,
which is just crazy, because I was having, like, every single lobby that I was going into for the past probably 3 or 4 weeks had Tyrion, Rafam, Van Cleef, and either Rat Dude or Yogg, like one of the two buy things and buff things, and then a Daryl. Like, that's 5 to 6 of the heroes in the lobby, and I was choosing one of those usually as well, but like 5 or 6 of the heroes in the lobby I knew going in. And, you know, there was the change to Floating Watcher that kind of made AFK go away a little bit. Like, her whatchamacallit, her win rate dropped a little bit, which was good, because then it meant that almost like freed up a spot in the lobby. But like, man, my lobbies were so similar for so long. I am ready for this shakeup.
Yeah. Likewise. It's good. It's good. All right. I have nothing else to add. I agree with you entirely. I've never agreed with you more.
Yay.
They also removed a ton of minions, 10 minions to be exact. I'm just going to rapid fire this. Shielded Minibot, Annoyotron, Mounted Raptor, Phalanx Commander, Psychotron, Tortolan Shellraiser, Piloted Sky Golem, Festerroot Hulk, Boogie Monster, and Sated Threshadon are all gone. I'm
so mad about the Sky Golem.
I know.
So mad.
I know. I'm actually really mad about Psychotron. It was my
favorite Battlegrounds minion. I can't. Ugh.
I'm sorry. I'm mad about Psychotron.
I'm so mad.
And I breezed through this earlier, and I thought it was Annoyotron. So, but I guess it was. Well, I thought it was Annoyotron.
Yeah.
And so I was like,
I think the one you're thinking about is you thought it was maybe the magnetized dude, the super Annoyotron. I can't remember what he's actually called.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. No. I just literally thought it was just Annoyotron. I forgot the Psychotron. I've also been mentioned in the rundown, because I just kind of skimmed this earlier. Because I'm like, yeah, I was at the summit. I know all this. Turns out some of this I didn't even notice at the summit. Psychotron, I'm missing big time. I really miss Psychotron. Turned out it was kind of a big piece of the puzzle to how I tend to draft mech. And I'm noticing Psychotron's absence quite a bit. Also, it was just a solid minion to have to just, you want a taunt in most comps that you run, and a Divine Shield taunt is great because it soaks up 2 attacks.
Yeah, that he was basically great as just a mid game minion just to have, regardless whether you were doing mechs or not. I just loved having him there. And, you know, if you got into a tight spot, you could buff him up a little bit. Like, he was just great to have regardless of what you were trying to build behind him. He was just a really, really solid option. So, yeah, I think he's probably the one. Him and Mounted Raptor, actually, I think, are probably the two that I saw most often. I definitely saw Boogie Monster and Festerroot Hulk in Tyrion builds. But outside of Tyrion, like, nobody picked them. So I think that that's the only hero. It's almost like a soft nerf to Tyrion. And I think that's a really good thing. But yeah, I don't know. I think Mounted Raptor, a lot of people were picking. Psychotron, a lot of people were picking. Piloted Sky Golem was my bay, and I was always picking, but I guess I was the only one. But yeah, apparently there just were way more mechs in Battlegrounds, which is why like Psychotron was kind of just a solid pick, regardless of what you were running. It's just there were so many mechs that, you know, he just was offered a lot. But yeah, like there's some minions that some minions aren't performing well.
Oh, yeah. You know, I don't want to steamroll past that too quick. You're right. A lot of the mid options for Tyrion are gone now.
Yeah, the Tortolan, the Festerud, the Boogie Monster, like all of those were kind of, or even the Phalanx Commander,
tier 4,
much Tyrion minions.
Tier 4, now you kind of like Bolvar or die. Like,
yeah.
Your other option now is Defender of Argus. Who wants to buff that?
Yeah.
Or Vermin Sensei.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
oh, and Menagerie like, Magician. Okay. There's another one in there. But you're talking about.
But those are all kinds of things that you kind of want to get rid of. Like, you never wanted to get rid of your Hulks. You didn't want to get rid of your Green Monsters. You didn't want to get rid of your Commanders. You wanted those things to just sit on your board and just get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So
yeah.
I really think that this was like, as much as Tyrion himself didn't get changed, I think just changing the minion pool was enough to kind of take him down a notch.
By the way,
and I would like to see how he's performing like post this patch.
Yeah. Annoia module. That was the name of the damn thing we were trying to remember.
Annoia module. Yes.
I almost forget the name of that one. Yeah. I have to say, I cannot believe Cobalt Guardian is still in the rotation.
Yeah. I'm surprised that dodged when they were looking for mechs that were, you know, seeing a lot of play or whatever, like just looking for mechs to remove, like that would have been at the top of my list. But I wonder if they left it in because a lot of the other stuff in the kind of mid game with the addition of dragons, like just is way more powerful. And if they had removed Cobalt, then that would have made mechs too weak in the mid game. And maybe they just left Cobalt in because that's what they think that mechs are going to need to compete as a viable tribe in Battlegrounds to not fall off too far. So that's the only thing I can kind of think of, is that they were just, because Cobalt is so strong, he's basically like the flagship for the mech tribe. I'm wondering if they thought it was just better to leave him in for now and then, you know, make sure that people can still play a mech comp without being too punished by all of this new stuff that's coming in. So that's my read on the situation anyways, is that they wanted to make sure that mechs were still viable and strong, and Cobalt, they know, is viable and strong. So, you know, just don't touch him for now. See how everything else shakes out. And if, you know, it's time next time we have a big rotation, then, you know, I think people are more sick of playing against it, as opposed to him being like way crazy OP. Like, he's really good, but yeah.
Yeah, it's quite a bit of a backbone. So I'm very much kind of in the same headspace as you. So I think, also my comments about, I think Annoyatron and Psychotron being this more ubiquitous options for damn near any draft to just kind of tap into to get a double soaking taunt.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be interesting because Max would be kind of like, actually, I think quite funky without Cobalt Guardian.
Just a Cobalt Guardian is
very, very good.
So. Especially with taking my Sky Golem out.
Yeah. Interesting, for sure. I think at this point, if they take Cobalt out, I think we need to get something else in that can be a bit of a carry in the mech draft.
Through the mid game, yeah. And maybe the problem with Cobalt is that it's really good mid game when it's just a 6-3, but then he kind of scales a lot. And maybe the problem isn't how good he is in the mid game. The problem is how good he is consistently into end game. And that's more of the problem. So maybe they need to take him out and put a battleground specific minion in that can carry that mid game, but then is something that you might want to get rid of instead of, you know, hanging on to and trying to get two of and buff up all the other things that you do with Cobalt. So
And then
that's my read anyway.
Yeah, I agree. And then finally, there were some game improvements and bug fixes. I'm not going to mention them all, but there were two that I thought were rather impactful. One is that they sped up animations from 0.8 of a second to 0.2 of a second across all game modes for Overkill, Lifesteal, Poisonous Inspire, and cards that reference whenever and after in their text outside of some special cases. So this is not specific to Battlegrounds.
Right. This is everywhere.
Yes. But we have overkill on Battlegrounds now, so it does affect Battlegrounds. And then Recruit will no longer be displayed on the turn timer in Battlegrounds when a player is about to lose.
Right. So I think we mentioned this a couple times over the last couple of months, but I didn't want to actually come out and say it because it's the kind of thing that you probably wouldn't notice. But if you did notice it, it could completely ruin either like your experience if you're looking at, you know, watching how your games are playing out, or if you're watching Twitch streams. Like, once you see it, you can't unsee it. And so I didn't want to say what it actually was. But prior to this patch, if you had lost in Battlegrounds, then instead of saying combat on where the end turn button is, it would say recruit. So you would know as soon as you got into combat whether you had won or lost the game. And, you know, if you're a crazy, ridiculous optimist like me, I'd be like, well, it says recruit, but maybe I can still do it. And I never could. Yeah. But that was the thing that we kept tiptoeing around because I didn't want to like burst anybody's bubble or tell anyone what the actual problem was. But I think someone in chat had even asked like why some streamers had like ads over the end turn button or like funny GIFs or pictures or something. And that's why they were trying to hide the result from the stream. So, yeah.
And then Twitch drops, which I got to say, I didn't know we were allowed to have Twitch drops anymore.
I'm surprised. But I mean, Twitch is the only platform, as far as I know, that is doing something like this, where by interacting with the platform, you're actually able to get rewards in games. Maybe we'll see more of this sort of stuff from YouTube with Stadia.
Yeah, I mean, I was mostly just making a bad joke, a really lazy joke. Oh. I think it's a good thing, right? Because like so many people still stream Hearthstone on Twitch. Like it's kind of a rebel. Oh, yeah. You want to support the people streaming your game.
You don't want to punish your community, right? For a decision that a higher up made.
Yeah, yeah, right. Like if you or I are streaming Hearthstone, like, yeah, it's nice, whatever. I really am personally not in a tizzy about them going to YouTube. I know a lot of people are. I watched it just the same. But like if I'm streaming Hearthstone, like I'd like to get in on this. I don't want you to not have this on Twitch if that's where I choose to stream your game. So I think it's great. On top of the fact that, yeah, you're probably right. It's probably because Twitch is like the only place with this kind of interactivity at the moment.
Yeah, at the moment. I do expect that we'll probably see some changes to that. But yeah. I mean, yeah, right now you are going to be able. Actually, I think possibly even right now on our stream, are we streaming Hearthstone?
I do put us under Hearthstone for the show. Yeah, I put us under Hearthstone for the show. Yep. Starting today and running through February 29th, it will end at 5 p.m. Pacific on February 29th. If you watch 3 total hours of any Hearthstone stream on Twitch, you're going to get 1 Descent of Dragons card pack. If you watch 6 hours, it can be consecutive or non-consecutive, you're going to get another pack. The watch time accumulates across the entire Hearthstone category. So as long as your Battle.net and Twitch accounts are linked, you are good to go. You don't need to watch it all at once, but you can if you really want. It feels like this episode might go 6 hours. You might be good.
Oh yeah, totally. We'll get you your DOD packs. Don't worry, guys.
So many things to talk about, but yes, this brings us to an end of the kind of Battleground specific and Battlegrounds adjacent conversation. So with that in mind, we can now move to this week's non-Battlegrounds Hearthstone news.
Good news, everyone.
We are getting class-specific packs. That's right. It's happened. I mean, it's here. We've actually technically already
gotten. Yeah, you can buy it right now.
Yep, you can. You can. For the first time ever, Hearthstone is offering a class-specific pack, but only for Mage and only for a limited time, and it is $9.99 US. You get 5 Mage packs. It's a bundle, essentially. It's going to be on sale starting today and runs through March 4th. Doesn't seem like the best deal in the world. Like I'm at odds with how cool it is that they're offering a class specific pack and the fact that they're only offering one class and that it's $10 for 5 packs.
This to me seems very much like they are testing the waters. And I was talking about this in our Discord this afternoon. It feels like they're testing the waters to see if there's any interest in class specific card packs. If you know, like being able to buy only rogue cards or only mage cards or only warrior cards is something people would actually want to do. which is why I kind of wish a few things. I wish that it would last longer so that it wouldn't only be, you know, what, a week, that it would be all potential classes, so not just mage. And then that it had happened maybe not right now, because I know, like, me personally, when I log into my Hearthstone client, I think I have like 16 or 17 packs sitting there unopened because I have all the cards that I want and need for standard right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, you are like the playboy of Hearthstone cards. I mean, you're just rocking it.
I completely understand that I am the Hearthstone 1% and I've had a lot of the cards for a long time. I am not a free to play player. Like, I get that, but I kind of wish that even if like we weren't, I wish it was at the launch of an expansion so that I could say like, oh, I'm super psyched about insert this gimmick, insert this class here. I'm going to buy packs for that class so that I can start that deck right away day one. And I think that that's why these packs cost more. So you're paying $10 for 5 packs, but because they're so targeted, because that pool is so small, you essentially are like guaranteeing what you're going to get out of your packs. Now, not your rarities, not exactly where your cards are, but if I'm trying to build up my mage collection, then what I'm going to want to do is like, I can buy my mage packs and get my mage cards instead of buying like full collection packs, getting neutrals or classes outside of mage, having to disenchant that stuff and then put it into mage cards, which then, you know, everyone knows the disenchanting exchange rate is terrible. So this is a much, much better way. If what I'm trying to do is target a specific class, this is a great way to do it. And I understand where the pricing comes from because you're reducing the card pool so much. I completely understand this pricing. I just don't think that, like, I think it's a great idea in theory, but I don't think that this implementation is the best way to even test if there's interest in this. Because like I said, day one of an expansion, I would 100% buy class specific packs.
I mean, I think that's intentional. I have to imagine that has been considered, and the concern over how that would affect pack sales weighed. It's all, like I said, for me, it's like, I think it's all of these things combined. I think it's okay if you want to test the waters with this, but I think it should be cheaper if it's so limited to only mage. Like, go ahead, make it a little cheaper. Why not? Like, at $10, if it was like $7, I would buy it just to see what the opening animation is like. But at 10, I'm like, eh, I'm good. I don't need to buy this. So,
this is not something I'm going to buy right now, but I don't want that to, and I mean, maybe I should just go and buy it because I feel like it's hard for me to vote with my dollars right now because this isn't how I would normally want to spend my dollars. Like, this pack of 5 mage packs, this bundle is not something I want to buy right now, but I do want to encourage them to experiment in this space, to not tie card packs specifically to like expansion only. So I like the idea in theory, and I want to see them do it. So I want to give them that feedback. Maybe I should just tweet at them, be like, guys, great idea.
I've got news for you. They listen to the show.
All right. good idea, guys. But
I think
I have some suggestions.
I mean, I think it's a wide enough net. The net they are casting here is into a pond of millions of Hearthstone players, some of which I'm sure are quite interested in filling out their mage collection. So I'm sure they're gonna get some bites for sure. To play devil's advocate here, and also just to, I always jump at the chance to give you a bit of a bruising for being such a one percenter. I don't think they're targeting the person that has 17 packs just sitting there that you forgot about because you literally have every damn card. So probably not targeting.
I know. Like, and that's what I say. Like, I don't need these cards right now. I don't want to buy these bundles right now, but I don't want them to think that that is me saying this is a bad idea because I think it's a good idea. And if it was implemented at a different time in the like yearly cycle, like shortly after an expansion has released, or I mean, ideally the same day that an expansion released, like if you gave me the option in the store, I promise I won't get confused. If you give me the option in the store to buy a generic, like, insert next expansion cards here pack, or by, you know, year of the blah. Let's just use year of a dragon so I don't have to say blah all the time. Let's say here's a year of the dragon card pack that is for rogues. I'll be like, sweet, I'm going to buy that. I want to try a rogue deck right off the start. Like, let's go year of the dragon rogue pack. Like, it's not too confusing. It'll give me, you know, 10 options. So the 9 classes that we've got, and then the generic pack with the neutrals and the chance at any of the classes for cheaper, like, give me all of those options and let me allocate my money accordingly. And you'll probably end up with more money from me in the long run. Yeah, I think there are times when I absolutely would buy this 100%. Just not right now.
I don't think I would be interested in class specific packs at all at the beginning of an expansion, especially with pre-order, like, money savings and whatnot. But yeah, whatever the case is, like, at the end of the day, I do think this is cool that they, like, this tech exists, that it's, you know, this is a pack that contains only mage cards and only mage cards from Year of the Dragon. That is rad. It's everything else that I just find odd. I'm like, I kind of wish I could buy this for all the classes. I kind of understand. Mm-hmm. Again, I still kind of understand the concern there, because then you don't have people buying Year of the Dragon packs. They're just kind of going through for their class that they're interested in.
Well, but at the same time, like, yeah. And if people aren't buying Year of the Dragon packs, again, I think that's why there's a higher price tag on these class specific packs, right? Like,
true.
You don't care if people are buying Year of the Dragon pack or aren't buying Year of the Dragon packs. Yeah, no, if your mage bundles are more expensive, right?
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm saying that it's the combination of all of the weirdness of this, like the limitation plus the price, plus how light this is. Like, it feels, I don't know.
Plus the really tiny window.
I have to imagine that
there must be reasons.
There's a graph and some people in suits with, like, all right, we're still selling this many dragon packs and blah, 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 blah. We don't want to risk it too much. There's an apple cart they do not want to upset is what I think is happening here. But cool tech is really all I have to say about this. And this is the most I have ever even been remotely interested in discussing a store item. But speaking of store items, Khadgar is back. If you want to make your Khadgar mage hero, and there's a card back this time. It's going to cost you $9.99 US. If you already have Khadgar, congratulations. You already have the card back now. It just magically appeared in your collection.
Which is so fitting, because he's a mage.
More Dadgar for you, everybody.
Yep.
Yep. Also, there's the 6 years of Hearthstone in-game celebration coming, which, where the hell was that? I don't know. I'm done with visuals for the video audience. And to commemorate the occasion, Hearthstone is putting on an anniversary event beginning on March 4th. That's going to bring special tavern brawls and a new legendary quest line and logger rewards. So that's really freaking rad. So go check that out. And yeah, that's basically our show for today. My goodness, that was a long one.
Garrett just, like, deleted half a page of show notes, you guys. Peek behind the curtain. He was like, you know what? That's a show. Delete.
That's it. That was a lot. It was a lot of battlegrounds.
It was a lot. It was a long show. I get it. It was really funny.
To the commenters of the official post going, where's the standard rotation and Hall of Fame and burger, 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 burger. It's coming. And if, like, it's on schedule. If we look at previous years, goodness.
Oh my God, Garrett, I wasn't even going to bring up that. You're totally right. Like, yeah. Like, if you guys are waiting for news about Standard, first of all, we just got an influx of cards. So have fun playing your adventure and have fun playing with the new cards in your Standard space. It's only just the end of February. This happens every year. I am glad that we got a super awesome Battlegrounds update to help bridge the gap between the end of the Year of the Dragon and the start of whatever we're getting. And I expect those announcements to happen alongside the Hall of Fame, all of that stuff, like it always does at the end of the year, which is always around April. So we'll probably get announcements in March. So just chill out, enjoy the update, enjoy the fact that I think we're getting an arena rotation soon too. Like, just enjoy the Hearthstone stuff that's carrying us through the gap that we always have at the end of the year.
All right. So here, can I give you, like, a true peek behind, like, the curtain that is my brain?
Yes.
So what just happened was I mentioned the 6-year anniversary and then I couldn't find it in the blog. It's actually right there by the Jaina image, which I was looking at while we were talking about the mage cards.
The mage packs.
And I thought to myself, shit, I wasn't supposed to talk about that yet. Crap. I panicked and that's why I deleted everything else. I'm like, crap, did they actually announce the arena rotation? Because then suddenly I was really lost in the blog because it's actually one of the longest blog posts they've ever made and actually one of the most detailed they've ever put out, which I really enjoy. Yeah,
they had dev comments.
So yeah.
No, I feel like we can't like emphasize that enough because that was amazing and I love the insight.
Yeah. The arena rotation is also coming on March 4th. They're going to be rotating to include Basic, Classic, GVG, Witchwood, Saviors of Uldum, Descent of Dragons, and Galakrond's Awakening. But that's not coming until March 4th, so it's still a little ways out. Not too far out, though.
Yeah, so. It's like that's next week, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, next Wednesday. A week today.
Yes, because time marches on to claim us all. Anyways, yeah, that's what I totally thought. I accidentally mentioned something I wasn't supposed to talk about.
Oh, I see. Yep. I was so surprised when half a page of show notes disappeared. Anyways, yeah, so that's what's going on in Hearthstone, you guys. But yeah, it has been a long show, though. I totally bought that excuse, Garrett.
It has been a very long show. What made me think about the comments is the fact that like this was an almost strictly Battlegrounds show. And we got quite a few compliments last week on your episode, Joss. I don't know if you saw them or not, from people being like, man, I'm so stoked you're talking about, you know, Standard and Constructed again, because there hasn't been as much of it. I would just say, like, expect that to just kind of be like the rising and falling breath of the Angry Chicken as we move forward. Like, if it is a Battlegrounds heavy week in terms of news and updates to the game, that's where we're going to put our focus. And the same goes for Standard. And if it's kind of a regular week without major updates to either, we're going to split our time between the two willy-nilly. But I mean, this was literally the biggest thing to happen to Battlegrounds since its release.
Yeah. I think that honestly, I said this last week too, I blame Galakrond's Awakening a little bit, because our plan had always been, I might have actually said this in the patron Discord, so if you guys aren't in there, that's where I apparently just splut all my thoughts. So if you're interested in my thoughts in between shows, that's where they go. But I think that I really blame Galakrond's Awakening, because our plan for the show always was, you know, it's even why we pushed it to Wednesdays, like play the solo adventure, see how you like the encounters, get access to the new cards, throw them in some decks and play them. And there was just nothing that was that impactful until we had all of the cards out and were able to build that super cool Dragon Hunter.
It was like, week one with Embiggen Druid and then the final week Dragon Hunter.
Right. And so we were kind of expecting or hoping that there were going to be some really cool card uses and an evolving meta over that time. And it just didn't really play out like that. So it's not that we didn't want to cover Standard. It's that there just wasn't as much Standard to cover in terms of like new and exciting decks to play on ladder, because there just wasn't really anything that was coming out of that influx of cards week to week that was worth really highlighting. So that was always our plan. We haven't abandoned Standard by any stretch of the imagination. It's just that sometimes there's just more going on in Battlegrounds, and they have been updating Battlegrounds so quickly that we've been able to kind of have this natural flow to the show where it's like announcement of like patch, nerfs, buffs, whatever coming to Battlegrounds. Then, you know, it happens the next week and we're able to talk about what that's like. And then the week after we talk about the meta. And then the week after that, usually we're getting another patch announcement. So it's been this really great kind of flow with the Battlegrounds content that we have never had with Standard Hearthstone content. And we were hoping to kind of get that flow with Galakrond's Awakening. And it just didn't really pan out that way, because the cards that were released weren't quite as powerful as what is currently sitting from all of the rest of the cards that have released with Year of the Dragon. So we still love Standard. We're still playing Standard. I mean, Garrett, like, you're playing with that Dragon Hunter and just absolutely tearing it up right now. So
I got back Wednesday. I think I listened to the podcast on Friday while catching up. And since Friday, I'm 29-4 with Dragon Hunter. It's
right. It's a great deck.
Absolutely crazy. I also went and dabbled in Mech Paladin, because, you know, they've got a Shotbot now, and Pure Paladin, because I've just been wanting to try Pure Paladin. Just back to Dragon Hunter, man. Not only is it oppressively powerful, I love how it plays. It's great. It's just fun to play. But I feel kind of like a dick.
Yeah. Yeah. It can be it's a little bit of an oppressive deck, and it's the only thing to come out of Galakrond's Awakening. So, I mean, we're still playing standard. We're still enjoying standard, but it's
in Big and Druid.
Yeah.
And Big and Druid came out of it, as in full force, and I'm rolling over it with Dragon Hunter right now, laughing maniacally. Mech Paladin got Shotbot, which is a notable inclusion. It's obviously not a whole brand new archetype, but you know, there are things, I'm just trying to save us some emails. I get your point.
Well, yeah, but exactly. And so that's what I'm saying. Like, it didn't have the impact that we thought it was going to. So that's basically what happened with our, like, what we were expecting our influx of standard coverage to be, and didn't really kind of end up playing out that way. So, I'm kind of on the edge of my seat and super stoked for whatever our Hall of Fame and our rotation announcements are going to be. Like, I'm right there with you guys, and I'm still really, really enjoying and interested in standard Hearthstone. It's not like I'm giving it up for Battlegrounds. I love playing Battlegrounds, but I'm kind of like straddling both worlds right now and really enjoying it. And that's why I think the show has kind of evolved into what the show is now. And I love doing it. So I hope you guys love listening.
I like it too. I didn't mean this to become such a meta discussion of our show, but it's a good talk.
I think it's a good talk, because we've definitely been, ever since Battlegrounds has released, we've definitely gotten a lot of these questions about like the future of the show. Are we going to be Battlegrounds only? Like, what's going on?
No, definitely not. Yeah. No, 100% not going to be Battlegrounds only. It's just, we are living, breathing human beings, and sometimes we get a little more attracted to one aspect of Hearthstone than the other. We're going to continue covering all of it. I've just been playing an ass ton of Hearthstone lately, like a lot. It's actually hurting my WoW play a little bit. I was really enjoying the latest WoW patch, and now I've fallen quite behind because of Hearthstone. This is just how it's going to go. And also, like, it's just been cool. Like, while we're on the meta conversation, y'all got pretty quiet there for a little bit. We weren't hearing from a lot of people in any aspect of Hearthstone. And now we hear from you a lot in regards to both Standard and Battlegrounds. And also just the future of the show, which I think is really rad. To me, screams good things for Hearthstone and the health of the game and everybody's interest in it. So if you want to write in, be a part of the show, we definitely don't have time for emails today, but keep them coming. TACpodcast@gmail.com. If you are a patron, you also gain access to the patron only Discord. You can skip the inbox and write us directly there. Sometimes we're there interacting with you in real time. Because we also work during the day and would much rather slack off and talk to you fine folks about Hearthstone. So check it out, patreon.com/TAC. We are now at the end of this week's episode. Hey, if you dig the show, please do go check out the Patreon. Every little bit helps. I know everyone says that. We mean it. We really do mean it. We have more $1 patrons than anyone else. You make up the majority. You're the reason we get to keep doing this. You help keep the lights on. Thank you so very much. So if you like the show, you want to support us at any level, we really appreciate it. Check it out. Patreon.com/TAC. While we're thanking our patrons, huge thanks to our producers, Declan H. and Cheesy Bob. Thank you so much for the support, you two. And if you want to catch the whole back catalog of episodes, you got some catching up to do. Maybe you have, for some reason, missed last week's stellar episode hosted by Jocelyn with Jonathan Vigil from the wonderful band A Ghost Inside. Also, Faded Karma, streamer. I cannot recommend it enough. I really, truly enjoyed listening to it. It was so rad getting to listen to a podcast that I'm usually on and get to just kind of take it in as a fan and also get inspired to be a jerk on ladder with Dragon Hunter. So if you want to catch back catalog, go to amove.tv or youtube.com/amovetv to find every freaking episode of The Angry Chicken ever. You can catch us live now on Wednesday nights. It's official. We're doing it on Wednesday from now on. Shit doesn't come out on Tuesday as much as it used to. Announcements don't come out on Tuesdays as much as they used to. We're just doing it on Wednesday from now on. It works out. Even though I'm tired because I get up early to do a show with a dude in England, doesn't matter. We're doing it on Wednesday. This is how we're doing it. This is how it's going happening. On from now on. Join us at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, twitch.tv/AMoveTV. Come join us in the live chat. Wonderful, fine folks. You know, it's a good place also to hang out. Like, you know, you got that 80 gold quest. You know that message we all type to each other. Hey, who wants 80 gold? The A-Move chat's a great place to throw that in. I find somebody. But before we go, Joss, you do all sorts of other awesome stuff. Where can everybody find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch. I'm at Joss Plays. That's J-O-C-E Plays. Nothing really crazy to talk about right now. Just still doing Gamers In all the time. We're talking a lot more like industry kind of news over there now. So if you obviously my playtime in general has dropped off a lot in the last 6 weeks or so. So yeah, we're doing a lot more industry news, which has been absolutely fascinating, especially since we're coming up on a new console release this holiday season. So there's all kinds of crazy stuff going on right now in general gaming stuff. So if that's your jam, come and check out Gamers In.
Yeah. Lots to say about Stadia being weird.
But there are so many of those like cloud streaming services out there now. Like the Nvidia one is actually really good. And the Xbox one worked surprisingly well. I was surprised. I was really surprised by both of those because Stadia was so bleh.
I haven't tried any of the streaming stuff. I do know that Xbox Game Pass will have my money forever because it's so freaking good. Xbox Game Pass reminds me of the early days of Netflix streaming where it was just like, yeah. Oh my God, this is the future. I just get to play so many more like non Blizzard games because of my Game Pass thing. Like not sponsored at all, by the way. Also I'm a little miffed. I missed out on the like $1 a month Game Pass sale that they had. I totally got screwed. Yep. So I truly enjoy it. So
because you're paying full price. That's how you know you like something.
Yep, love it. I have bought every Forza game ever. I haven't bought the latest Horizon because I just have Game Pass, which means I just have access to it. So what's the point?
Right.
I love Forza. I really do. And I never get to talk about it. So, hey, if you nerds ever need a car nerd to come on and talk Forza, let me know. Folks, I'm Garrett Art on Twitter. You can follow me on there. This podcast, all of the other podcasts that I do can be found at amove.tv. I just put out a brand new episode of WoW Killer. Taliesin and I talked about who we think the best and worst characters are in WoW lore. We did best main character, best and worst main character, expansion specific character, pop culture reference character, and then we even put our own tunes under that
under the microscope.
yeah, that went up literally this morning, so you can go get that wherever podcasts can be found. WoW Killer. Also, Let's Talk About Star Wars is returning next week, covering the first two episodes of Clone Wars' final season that I never thought we were going to get. So, so excited. It's like my favorite Star Wars thing ever. And I love Star Wars. So that's saying a lot. That's going to wrap it up for this podcast, everybody. Thank you so much for hanging out. Hope we burnt a good chunk of your workday or whatever you're doing while you listen to this. Maybe mowing the lawn, which my mower is so loud. I don't know how you do that. Maybe I need to get it looked at. But until next time, job's done.
Job's done.
Job's done.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.